Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
All right, let's pray and jump into this because we got a lot of ground to cover and it's going to be good. Amen. Father, thank you for the baptisms. Thank you for the awesome set of worship that opens up a heaven above us where your word can come down and shape and mold us. Somebody say, bless the word. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're about to go into an election. We need it. We need this message for you to understand what's in the brink. So without any further ado, let me put up the first note. A nation claiming Christianity cannot go forward in that when they don't know who Christ really is and why he came. For America to claim we're a Christian nation, but we're not following Christian values and morals and standards makes us a joke. But I'm ready for the joke to be over. I'm ready for not only us to declare we are a Christian nation, but we start acting like it and we start voting like it. Amen. And I know sometimes you go in there to vote and you go, my gosh, this is the choice. You got to go in there and say, which one's the most evil? Amen. And wherever the evil is, you vote against evil. Amen. Are you getting political? No, I'm getting biblical. And I'll prove that to you here in just a moment. And we wonder why our nation is in the shape it's in. When we were founded on the beliefs of Judeo-Christianity, and we've wandered from them, and then we're wondering, how did we get in this shape? Because we got off our foundation. We got off our identity as a nation under God. And we become a nation under ourselves and unto ourselves and unto what benefits our pocketbook or what benefits this and what can you do for me? So let me just ask you a question this morning. We're going to be in the book of Matthew chapter 16 if you want to turn there. I don't even think I'm going nowhere else today. I'm staying in one scriptures. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Because when we don't know who Jesus is, we will believe some lies about him. We'll believe what everybody else tells us he is. But it is imperative that we as individuals, we as a church, and yes, we as a nation know for a fact without a shadow of a doubt who is Jesus and what did he really come to do? Well, he's a good guy. Well, we're going to look at this. And I'm going to try to go through this because I really want to get just to really one verse today. But I'm going to take a little time today. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is hanging out with his disciples. And he says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his, everybody say, disciples. Now, these are the people that's been with Jesus throughout his whole time of ministry, almost the conclusion of 3 years of traveling full-time with Jesus. He asked his disciples, saying, now watch this, he says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So he's asking them, what's the word? What's the lowdown on who I am and what's going on and what people are saying about me? And a lot of that's still happening today. People want to know, who is this Jesus? And the next verse in verse 14 says, so they are his close friends, his disciples, his followers. The disciples said to Jesus, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. And others say Jeremiah, or you're one of the prophets. Now, what's the problem with that? Leave that up there for a moment. The problem with that is everybody around there was referring to Jesus as one of two things. A good teacher, a rabbi, or one of the prophets. Now, Jesus was the best teacher and the greatest prophet ever. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Amen? But now, here's the thing about it. Some say you're John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a prophet. Elijah. Again, prophet. Jeremiah. Prophet. Other prophets. Prophets. Now, being called a prophet is a very high honor. But Jesus wasn't just a prophet. And when you limit him down to something, although it may be good, you're not giving him his full glory, his full authority. Now listen to what I'm about to tell you real closely. It's going to be on the notes. Take a picture, write it down, put it down, take notes. Go ahead and put the next note up. Whatever you call him gives him the access to you on that level. Man. So we've been taught that Jesus is a good dude. Well, you know what you get when you think Jesus is just a good dude? You get the good dude level of him in your life. You don't get king. When you call him just a good prophet, you get just that prophet side of him, and you really don't get much of that because most people don't even believe in the prophetic anymore. When you call him a good teacher, but yet you don't sit under his teachings, you lose even some of that. So it matters what you call him because that's the level you're releasing him and his authority into your life. Are you with me? Now, you look at all major religions across the planet. They all acknowledge Jesus in some capacity. Buddhists acknowledge Jesus that he was a wise man. Hindus, wise man, good teacher. Muslims, good prophet. Come on. They all give Jesus a lesser role than what he is. Let me urge you today, church, don't give him a lesser role than what he is in your life. Now, this may sound weird. I don't need just prophet Jesus. I don't need just pastor Jesus. I don't need just apostle Jesus. I need Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I don't need a portion of his anointing. I need all his anointing. Amen. Hallelujah. So whatever you call him allows that to become the authority that he has into your life. Now, he has all authority, but you only recognizing some of it. So therefore, you only benefit from some of that. Are you okay? But now watch this. After this, he looks to his disciples and said, okay, that's who the crowd says I am. That's the talk around town. It's less than who I am, but I need to know something. The heck with what everybody else thinks. Exactly. Are you with me? The heck with what everybody's saying. Next verse says, he said to them, but who do you say I am? They've established their reward. I need you to establish your reward. I need to know who you say I am because it matters. It matters who we think he is. It matters who our nation says he is because that's the level we get. Whew. Are y'all okay? Now, here's the thing about it. Most of you know this from Scripture. You know Peter chimes in here in a minute. But at this particular point when Jesus asked this question, every one of them did not know who Jesus was. It's quiet in here. Welcome. They didn't know. Why? Because they didn't answer. They knew what everybody else was saying. Some of them probably seen him as a miracle worker. They seen that. They seen him be an astonishing teacher, a good biblical Old Testament debater of scriptures. They seen a good man. They seen a just man. They seen a very sympathy and empathetic man. But they weren't even sure themselves at this point. Now, you got to understand something, because they lived in a time much like we live. Before Jesus Christ, there were many people who claimed to be Christ. There were many people who claimed to be Christ before Jesus. And there's been many after Jesus that's claimed to be Christ today. Now check this in your spirit real good. Why do you think we have so many different religions? Because everybody says, this is Christ, no, this is Christ, no, this is Christ, let's build a religion around it. They build a religion around on who they decide Jesus was or is. Like I say, all major religions acknowledge Jesus in some capacity, but there's only one that acknowledges him as who, what he says he is. Whew, come on now. Are y'all okay? So they didn't know, and then all of a sudden, Simon Peter, of all people, the radical one of the bunch, He gets this download from Father God into his spirit. And go ahead and put up the next verse. Simon Peter answered and said, I love this, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Woo! Yes! Man, now you're wondering how, well, Peter already knew that. No, he didn't. How do we know? It's in the next verse. Now, notice he says, now notice the words of Peter. Simon Peter said, you are what, Christ?
The
Christ. You are what, Son? Of what God?
The
has a very important word there. Simon didn't answer and said, you're one of the gods. You're one of the many who's claimed to be before and probably be after. We feel you're one of the major ones. No, he didn't reveal. He's one of the Christ. He said, you are the Christ, not one of the sons of God. You are the Son of God, and not just any God, but you're the Son of the living God. Why do you say living God? Because all other gods are dead. All other gods' tombs, bones and memorials. Jesus Christ's tomb, empty, gone, resurrected. The only one with resurrection in it, Jesus Christ. The Christ, the Son of the living God, no one else.
Amen.
I love his answer there. Amen?
Amen?
Now, Jesus went on in verse 17. Jesus answered and said to him, now watch this. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar-Jonah means Jonah's your daddy. Be proud of his little boy right now. Your boy got it right, Jonah. Your boy opened up and heard from heaven. Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Watch this. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. In other words, he didn't know in himself who Christ was, even walking with Christ. Well, how many people today claim to walk with God, but they don't know him as the Christ, the Son of the living God? We have him registered as a prophet. We have him registered as a good man, a good teacher, someone to look up to, a good father figure. You got to put him as the only one. The Christ, the Son of the living God, and there is no others but him. He's not one of something. He is the one of everything. Can I have a better amen on that one? So again, he said, your flesh and blood did not know this, but you received this. You didn't know this until God the Father from heaven revealed it to you in your earthly form. So what I love about this is there is revelation from heaven to earth in this very moment. And what do we need when we come to Jesus? Absolutely. The same thing should be happening when you accept Christ. You've got a revelation from the Father God about who his Son really is. And what his Son really came to do. Everybody say revelation. So revelation is still happening in our lives when we open up ourselves to the revelation of who he is and what he came for. And then Jesus went on to say something about Simon Bar-Jonah. Here's where the name change came. Everybody say name change. He changed his name here. Go ahead and put up the next. Jesus answered and he says, I also say to you that you are Peter. Everybody say Peter.
Peter.
And on this, everybody say rock.
Rock.
He says, and on this rock I will build my church. Now stop there. We're going to leave that there. I'm going to finish it up here in a little bit with the last tag on here in just a minute. This is where I really want to get to. So here we have for the first time a download, revelation from heaven to earth to regular human beings of who Jesus really is. Simon Bar-Jonah, Peter, gets the word, releases the word, and God calls him blessed. Now, this is where, and I love my Catholic friends. Love your friends. Love my Catholic friends, okay? But this is where Catholicism builds its foundation. Because they believe that Simon Peter was the first pope. And they take this verse and say, the church is built upon Simon Peter. He was the first apostle. He was over the Jerusalem council. Actually, it was James. But anyway, and he was infallible, which he was not infallible. I don't understand why they set this man up as their first pope to establish their whole foundation, because they've taken this out of context. And why do you let all your other popes not marry when Peter was married? Well, it doesn't say Peter was married in the Bible. Yes, it does. It said Jesus went to his house and healed his mother-in-law.
Right.
You can't have a mother-in-law without being married.
Amen.
Come on, man, shout amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Didn't know that was coming in the package sometimes, but there it is. No, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm not even going there. I'm going to let it lay. Thank you, Jesus, for discernment. But they build this thing and said, right there, the scriptures determine that you build the church on Peter, Simon Peter, for his. No. It was never meant to be built upon a man. What it was meant to be built on is a revelation that man got. I'm going to prove this to you. Everybody say Peter. The word Peter is the Greek word Petros. Everybody say Petros. Go ahead and put the definition up. Petros means a stone, a pebble. Another translation says little rock. Everybody say little rock. A little rock. So Peter became this small stone, a little rock. But then when he goes on, it says, and on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Not on the Petros, the little rock, but I'm going to build my church on a big rock. The word rock in this translation, in all the translations, Peter is Petros, rock is Petra. Everybody said Petra. There's a difference. Petra means this. Go ahead and put it up. The rock word is Petra. It means massive rock, huge projecting rock, a cliff, and literally a rock mountain. So in other words, this pebble got it right. Now off of his download revelation from heaven of who Jesus is, he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, I now can build through his download a rock of foundation, my church. Don't get excited. He says, by the way, he says he's going to build it. He just needs the workers. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Amen. So now, I want to go back now into early Greek history. If you study people like Aristotle, Plato, and those guys, we are still experiencing the influence that those Greek philosophers had in our day, especially here in America. They studied cultures, they studied people, they studied kingdoms, they studied governments, and they developed a Greek word called demokrata. And that's where we get our word from, democracy. And nations like ours grow up in a republic democracy. Not a full-blown democracy, but a republic that operates with democratic-style government. Amen? So that's the word where we get democracy, demokrata. Okay? Now, also these two philosophers and some more around them gathered up, and they began to study not just a representation-type government of demokrata, where you elect, the people elect, and then you have representatives from certain areas, and you do all the different cabinets and things like that. They also studied the kingdoms of the world, theocracies. And they came up with a name to call a government structure where it was a king and the king's people. And the word they gave that is a very interesting word. It is spelled E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. It is called the governmental term called ecclesia. Everybody say ecclesia. It's a government term. It's a kingdom term. Everybody say ecclesia. Now, when the writers were transcribing the Bible into English, they looked and seen when God was establishing his church, it was the word ecclesia. Ecclesia. Now, what's so important about this? The importance of this is ecclesia is not a religion. Ecclesia is a kingdom form of government. So it is a governmental formation over a land and a territory. Oh, come on, you might learn something today, set you free. It'll be amazing. Amen? So the literal word church means governmental kingdom. But what do we look at church as? A religious organization. So let me ask you this to further kind of just bring it down. What religion was Jesus? Raise your hand if you think he's Baptist. Raise your hand if you think he's Nazarene. Raise your hand if you think he was a Catholic. Anybody think he was a Lutheran? Anybody think he was a Methodist? Anybody think he was a Seventh-day Adventist? A Mormon, a Church of God, Assembly of God, Pentecostal Church of First Living Apostolic in Christ Jesus. I don't know. No one can tie Jesus to any denomination religion. Why? Because he never came to establish a religion. It was religion that killed Jesus. Jesus came to establish his Father's kingdom. I know already, I can tell where God's leading this is. I'm going to have to do a whole long series on kingdom here pretty soon. Because we live in such a democratic style of our nation. Well, I got to preach on. I got to get this out of here in an early time. My wife's been on me. Oh, I throw you under the bus. Now, there's a difference between the way our nation operates and God's kingdom operates. And that's why I tell people, Jesus is not an American. He's not an American, y'all. He's a Hebrew. He's a Jew. He was not raised under anything else but kingdom format. He was not raised under Democrata. He was raised in kingdom, and he came to establish kingdom. Not another religion. He knew we'd had too much religion. He came to give a kingdom. Oh, this will mess with you, I know. In Democrata, the president has his own cabinet. Now, you have the Senate and the House and things of that nature represented in the people, and they come up and they can argue and fuss. But the president or the ruler or the prime minister of any nation in under a Democrata-style government, they appoint themselves their own cabinet. And they meet with the cabinet, and the cabinet gives them advice and tells them, well, this is what I think you ought to do. And he meets with the cabinet, and he tries to gather information, and they try to make the best decision on opinion poll of the cabinet. And that's the way we're used to our style here in America. But that is, listen to me now, that is Democrata. It is not Ecclesia. Ecclesia is a kingdom government. And under a kingdom government, the kingdom appoints his cabinet to do one thing and one thing only, carry out the will that the king tells them to. They don't get to voice their opinion. The people don't get to vote in an ecclesia. Their only purpose there is to do everything the king says to do. And that is wonderful when you've got King Jesus, but it's awful when you've got a bad king. Okay? But we do not have a bad king. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen? So church, again, let me say this. Church isn't supposed to be and never was designed by Jesus to be a religion. It was designed to establish the government. Do you remember the prophetic word? I think it's in the book of Isaiah about unto us a child is born, unto us a Savior is given, and unto him the kingdom of his government shall be upon his shoulders, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. It was even prophesied from a baby. He's not being born to religion. He's born as a king of a kingdom. Amen. And of his government. Everybody say government. Amen. Government's not a bad word when you're talking Bible. Amen. It is the best government we can have under Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords. Yes. Man, get out of your religion and get into his kingdom. Amen. Now, how many of us have heard this living in America pretty much all of our life at some point in time? Our government itself will tell the people, keep the church out of the government's business. Come on, how many's ever heard that? Raise your hand, smile at me. We've heard that all of our lives as American citizens. The church has no business in our politics. It has no business in the government. We even have a thing that's called separation of church and state. Now, don't yell this out, nobody. But in one of three places, I want to see if you know where it's at. How many believes that that is in our Constitution? Raise your hand. How many believes that statement is in the Bill of Rights? How many people believe that thing's in the Declaration of Independence? It's got to be somewhere. It is in somewhere. It's in none of our documents. It is not in the Constitution. It is not in the Bill of Rights. And it is not in the Declaration of Independence. And some people are looking at me like, are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. Look it up yourself. It is none of those. It was a letter from Thomas Jefferson to a Baptist church telling them, the government's not going to come in here and tell you how to worship your Jesus. We're going to stay out of the church's business. That's all it ever meant. But boy, have we allowed Satan to come in and twist that and take our prayer out of school, take everything out of gut. Democrata. Well, so why, let me just say it like this. And this is very important on the upcoming election. The government's saying keep your church out of our government business. But what they don't understand, and even the church don't understand, is the church is government business.
Amen.
We are the governmental body in the earth established through Jesus Christ in the ecclesia church, not a religious church, but a church kingdom government. We're supposed to be ruling the earth.
Amen.
Well, welcome to the real America. Welcome to the ecclesia government of America that God was supposed to and did establish, but we've turned it over to a brood of vipers. Church is government. Church is supposed to be the state. Of his government there shall be no end. And I got news for you. As bad as it may look, his government is intact. His kingdom has not fallen. His kingdom has not gone away. His kingdom is alive, and it is a well, whether you realize it or not. That's why this is so important to know. When you declare you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you don't vote the way earth tells you to vote. You vote the way daddy tells you to vote. Because it's his kingdom. Now, countries with the Democrat style of government, this is the reason we don't really like kingdom. We don't. Not even in our churches we don't. Because, again, let me make sure you understand kingdom. In kingdom, you don't get to have an opinion. And even if you have one, it don't matter. And boy, does that offend us as Americans. We want to have our say. We don't care who you say, what you say. We're free. We can do what we want to do. Well, you're free in a kingdom under the king's authority. But you can't go against it. And your opinion don't matter to the king. Once the king decrees it, it doesn't matter what you think about it. And that's why we don't like kingdom preached in our churches. Because that's why we have so many different religions even in Christianity. Because we don't want to come under one teaching, which is the Word of God. We want to say, well, I know it says it, but we want to believe it like this. And so we're going to come over here and start us a church like this. Well, we believe it like this, so we're going to come over here and start us a church like this. Well, we don't believe exactly like that, so we're going to branch off. There's First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, Free Will Baptist, Independent Methodist, United Methodist, Church of God, Church of God of Prophecy, Church of God of Cleveland, Tennessee, Church of God based out of Anderton, Indiana. Assemblies of God. I mean, everybody just splits off God. Why? Because they want to do their own thing. They don't understand kingdom. Do you know how many churches there should be in every community?
One.
We all send our kids to one school system. And it's government. And they make decisions you don't like, but you know what you do? You still send Junior and Sissy right on up there. Shikatabasa. Whoo, don't get me started. See here, now listen to me where we're at right now. Everybody say right now. In Democrata religious, you can have an opinion. Your church can have an opinion on homosexuality and gender. They can have conferences where they discuss what they're going to allow, what they're not going to allow. Under kingdom, there is no opinion. It's sin. If you ever go to a church and they're debating on what they're going to do about sin, whether they're going to approve it or disapprove it, leave. You're not in a church of the living God. You're in the church of a false prophet and demons, the doctrines of demons. Oh, he's saying that. Did he say? Yeah, I said that out loud. You're in a religious organization that is a doctrine of demons. You are not in a kingdom. But you know what? We love our religion because we don't want to be in a kingdom. And that's why so many religions are taken off, because it don't, listen to this, whatever you want to believe, you go find a religion that says so. But you won't find a kingdom that does that. You'll find a kingdom that says, he's king, this is his word, and you either obey it or you won't. Well, I don't like some of it. It don't matter. I mean, some of it makes me want to, I'm going to have to change my ways if I'm going to do this. Yep. You sure are. But he's all loving. He is all kind. He is full of grace and mercy towards you. And he will walk you through this kingdom walk step by step if you'll just begin to close your eyes to religious Jesus, to just good old Jesus, just to the carpenter, just to the prophet, just to the apostle, and you open your eyes that he's a king. He's King Jesus. And here's the thing about his kingdom versus all other kingdoms. He wants the best for his citizens. He dies for his citizens. He don't require his citizens to die for him. Your government will wear you out and kill you with tax. They'll tax you to death. They'll worry you to death. They'll put you under insurance. It won't cover what you really need to be whole and well. They'll two things in America you can be certain of. What are they? Death and
taxes.
That's government. But I told you I was going to say the best for last. Come on up, Rodney. Going to say the best for last. Everybody say the best for last. The last part of verse 18 says this. And the gates, go ahead and put it up. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. What is the it? The ecclesia, the governmental structure of the kingdom of God. Hell will always succeed against a religion. Listen. Hell can destroy every religion on earth. Let me just take another thing. Hell can create religion. But hell cannot create a kingdom. Hell cannot stand against a kingdom. Now, this is where we seem to get on shouting ground here. Because I don't know if you've ever seen this in the Word of God. Now, some translations say, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." But this is more accurate translation because it's Hades. Everybody say Hades.
Hades.
There are three words in the Bible that describe hell, what we know as hell. Not heaven, but hell. The first word is Gehenna. Everybody say Gehenna. Go ahead and put it up. Gehenna means it's the place of torment. It's the place that you go to be tormented forever. Okay, so that's the first one, Gehenna. Then the second word is Sheol. Everybody say Sheol. Sheol is referred to as the lake of fire. Everybody say lake of fire. The third definition of hell in the Bible is the word Hades. And this is why the word translation is Hades here. Now again, if your Bible says hell, it's fine. It's a part of hell. There's three translations of it. Again, Gehenna, Sheol, and Hades. Hades literally means death, the grave, the cemetery. It's death. Go to the cemetery, plant the death, and the grave. Okay? Now here's the good part about this. Now let me read Matthew 16:18 to you. Out of the Passion Translation. Maybe you'll understand this. Now watch this. Go ahead and put it up in the Passion Translation. He says, "I'm going to give you the name Peter. You're a stone, Petros. And this truth, this mountain rock of truth, Petra, of who I am, will be the bedrock Petra foundation on which I will build my church." Now watch this. "My legislative assembly." Ecclesia, government, legislation, government. "My legislation assembly and the power of death will not be able to overpower it," the ecclesia. Hallelujah. Death does not overpower the government of the kingdom of God. Death will stop every other government from ever messing with you again. Hey, come on now. Amen? How many know that the moment you pass away, you don't pay any more taxes? There's one benefit. You don't pay a property tax no more. You don't pay an income tax no more. You are freed. In other words, the government's ever overextended reaching hand into your life stops at death. They can no longer reach you. Democrata stops at the cemetery. God says, "I'm not here to establish a religion I'm here to establish a kingdom, and of this government there shall be no end. In translation, in other words, my government when you die is everlasting after the grave. The government kingdom of God goes beyond the grave into your eternity with you. That's good. Every other government is shut off. Every other religion shut down when you die. The only one that can reach beyond the grave is the one who is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Ecclesia Church of the living God. That's why you want to be of the kingdom of God. We cannot reduce him down to modern day religion. We cut off so many sources when we call him just the prophet, just the teacher, just the pastor, the apostle, the elder, whatever you want to call him. Now, he's all of those things, but he's all of those things because he's king of all. Yes. King of kings, Lord of lords. His kingdom's on both sides of the grave. Every other one stops this side of the grave. And stand to your feet, and I'll read you one more verse. And I'm not going to break this down, but I want to give you the good news of how this works while you're here, waiting to go over there. Because he says, you're not going to have to wait for my government when you get over there. I want you to operate in my government while you're down here on earth. As a matter of fact, this is where the government of God is needed the most in planet earth. It is already established in the heavens. Are you with me? You think you're going to get up in heaven and vote on something? You just might as well go on to hell. That ain't happening in heaven. Okay? I got news for you. It ain't going to happen in hell either. So your voting days are limited to here on earth, so go vote. Okay? But while you're on earth, when you come to the knowledge that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, he opens up a kingdom realm, and he declared out of his own mouth, when you stand on this revelation of his church, that he's the Christ, he's the Son of the living God, when you get into that kingdom revelation and understand that, here's the promise from heaven to earth. Put up the next verse, still the words of Jesus. Oh, and by the way, I, the King of Kings, will give you the kingdom of the keys to the what? The what of heaven? Everybody say womp. I'm going to go womp. There it is. He didn't say, I'll give you the keys to the Baptist church. I'll give you the keys to the Methodist. I'll give you the keys to the Assembly of God or the Church of God or the Nazarene or the Lutheran or the Catholic. He said, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. When you have this kingdom revelation, you get kingdom keys. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, not earth, heaven. And whatever you bind, whatever you begin to bind in the earthly realm, heaven's going to bind it there. And then whatever you on earth begin to loose in the heavens, it's going to be loosed on the earth. It'll be loosed in the heavens. Why? Because it's a kingdom. And when you have the kings and sigma on you, you operate in the king's authority. And when you bind something in the king's name and it's the king's will, he binds it for you. He comes in agreement with you. When you say this needs to be loosed in the kingdom, he says, you're right. Loose that in my kingdom. But now you can't just go doing your own thing. Remember, you got to follow his word. He's the king. He's the king. We're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. But when the king says it and we know, we can say it too. Because he gives us the authority. And when you get born again, you get the insignia of his ring, so-called, on your life, and you get that stamp that you have the authority to speak and it'll be bound, or you can speak and it'll be loose because you're speaking the king's decree. That just scratches the surface. Bow your heads. This morning, you're either part of his kingdom or you're not. Have you ever accepted him and said, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Not one of the gods, not one of the things that's going to get you out of trouble with mom and dad or wife or husband or wherever you're. No, he's not that. He's King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. There is no other but him. And my friend, if you've never surrendered to that, today's your day to surrender and make him King. The Christ, the Son of the living God. And again, that's why we tell you, we're not offering you religion. We offer you a kingdom today who has a king that sent his son to die for you. So if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, your King, and you want to do that today with no strings attached, again, you're not going to join church today, but you're going to walk into a kingdom with fellow believers. If that's you today, just lift your hand and say, today I want to get saved. I want to surrender my life to the King of Kings. Anyone in here? Maybe watching online, let us know. Drop us a line if you do that at home. I'm telling you, this will radically change your whole life. You'll begin to see things different. You'll begin to study. When you study the Bible from this perspective, it illuminates so many things about Jesus came to bring us a kingdom, not a religion. I can leave you one word. Don't walk out of here religious. Walk out of here filled with the King and His kingdom. So, Father, right now we thank you. If there be any hands in here that wants to go up and say, Father, I want to walk in some transformation, wisdom, and knowledge of your word. And I know this one small message today cannot even comprehend the depth of your kingdom and understanding it. But Lord, I want to take my first step to say, I want to declare that you are the King. You're not just one of the many kings. You're the Christ. You're not one of the many false Christs and antichrist. And you're the one of the only living God, because all the others are dead. And Lord, I just want to ask you to send me revelation knowledge, just as Simon Bar-Jonah became Simon Peter. I want to be a rock you can build on. I want that same revelation knowledge today of your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If that's you today, just lift your hand and say, Lord, I want more wisdom and knowledge. And I've got mine raised because I haven't obtained it all either, folks. But I know it's real because it's all through the Bible. It's all through Jesus. The kingdom come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, forgive us where we failed you. Get us out of man's idea of who you are and get us into who you say you are. Thank you, Father. Bless every hand and heart in this place now, God. And go with them and give them that revelation knowledge that can only come from Father above down into our earth. And Lord, bless our nation as we go into spiritual warfare Tuesday, God. We go to either put this nation back towards a track of godliness or toward the track of continual evil. So Lord, I rebuke evil in the name of Jesus. We want to show up and cast evil out of our nation. And the biggest way we do that is we cast our vote. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.